This is the 13th message, and we're going to break out of the book of Revelation after this, and we're going to be bringing some other messages in a series as well. But I thought that we would give the book of Revelation a rest, since we've already had 13 messages in the book of Revelation. As we know, God has been talking to the Apostle John, who is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. The Apostle John had been preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. He had upset a lot of people, and don't you know the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive? It's offensive to the lost because whenever you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, it has the stench of death on it. Because they know that they have never received Christ as their Savior, and so it becomes offensive. And during the Roman occupation, there were many that didn't want to hear the gospel, and so they felt that John was being too obtrusive. I think that's the right word, maybe. I don't know. Is that the right word? Chrissy's smiling at me. Obtrusive. Is that right? Okay, anyway. So they had court, and they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos, and there he was going to live out the rest of his life in the solitude of being on a deserted island. Now, as God was ministering to him, God wanted him to write down a few things, and he wanted to reveal some things to the Apostle John. And so he said, I want you to write down the things that you have seen, the things that are, and the things that shall be. And we know that Revelation chapter 1 are the things that he had seen. And we also know that Revelation chapters 2 and 3 are the things that are. And they were the seven churches of the Revelation. They are seven literal churches that were alive and active and ministering in that day. Each one of them had some good qualities. Some of them also had some poor qualities. Many times he would say, I like what you've been doing in this area, in this area, in this area, but I have one thing that I want to share with you that you need to improve. There were others that he said that you're neither hot nor cold, and because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Others, he would say, you have left your first love. And so he wanted these churches to come alive and to do the things that they knew were right. And so John was writing to the seven churches. We know that these are also representing seven different church ages from the resurrection of Christ all the way to our present age today. These seven churches had different attitudes because they were in different cultures. And because they were in different cultures, they had different attitudes that would affect the way they ministered in their communities. Now, these attitudes are what caused them to be neither hot nor cold or to have left their first love or whatever the case might be. We know that these attitudes are present in the church today and that there are many individuals that are members of the church, but they're neither hot nor cold. Some have left their first love. Others are doing things outside the church and living according to the world. So we know that those attitudes are present in the church today. We also know that he said, I want you to write down the things that shall be. And in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, we see that taking place in the heavenlies after the rapture. We know that the judgment seat of Christ is taking place, which is preparing the bride, you and I, the church, the believers in Christ. It's preparing the bride for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Chapters 4 and 5 are taking place here in the heavenlies, while chapters 6 through 19 are taking place here on earth. Now, they're taking place simultaneously. They're not written chronologically. And so to see them, you have to see them from God's view as he's looking down through chapters 4 and 5 and seeing chapters 6 through 19. And that's how he shared what shall be with the Apostle John. Now, Revelation chapter 6 begins with the opening of the six seals, four of which are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. We know that the four horsemen of the apocalypse are four manifestations of Satan in the person of Antichrist. Did I say that right? No, it is the manifestation of Satan in the person of Antichrist. These four horsemen come and they are unleashed upon the earth. Why? Because the church is gone. God is the only one that's holding back evil today. Amen? God holds that back in the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives within the lives of every believer is holding back evil in their lives and holding back evil around them. Have you ever noticed that the presence of a Christian really can dampen the party sometimes? Amen? People will, I know that when I'm around, they'll say, they'll kind of clean up their language just a little bit, so to speak. And you know, present company, you know, excluded. You know, it's like, what is that? But God is holding back evil, but when the church is raptured away, the Holy Spirit is raptured away, and there is nothing to hold back evil, and the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the manifestations of Satan in the person of Antichrist, is let loose on this earth. A third of the population is destroyed. We also see in chapter 7, where we were last week, that there is a pause. You have the six seals being opened in the sixth chapter, and then you have a pause. Why the pause? Well, God wants to give everyone the opportunity to contemplate, to connect the dots. God wants to give everybody the opportunity to think things through. And so that's why there is a pause, and we see that pause in chapter 7. And then we begin in chapter 8 this morning, and that is the beginning of the end of the human race, as we know it today. Chapter 6 is the six seals, and then a big pause, and then the seventh seal is being opened here in chapter 8. And we know that this world is going to experience some things, and the people of heaven are going to see it. So I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to Revelation chapter 8. And we're going to read just a couple verses, and then we're going to look at a few things from God's view. Revelation chapter 8, please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Now, last week, you know, I jokingly, about there not being any women in heaven because of this space of a half hour where there was silence. But we're going to talk about that silence. That was a joke. But this is no joke. In Revelation chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you, Father, for everyone that is here today because, Father, this is the appointed time in their lives. and appoint the time to make a decision for Jesus Christ, that they too would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And Father God, we pray that not one soul that is lost would be able to leave this place today in the way they came. And Father God, we pray today that you would speak to every heart that is heavy, every heart that is burdened. Father God, we pray that you would minister as only you can do. And we thank you and praise you now for what you're going to show us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. There is a significance for the silence. A significance for the silence. And the significance is this. They were stunned beyond words. They were stunned to where they just didn't have anything that they could possibly say. Now let me tell you something. There was no crying. There was no speaking out. There was no proclamations. There was no proclaiming the glory of God. There was no glorifying God. There were no angels proclaiming his glory. Heaven was silent. Now that's strange, because heaven is a noisy place. See, the Bible tells us that the holy angels proclaim his glory from moment to moment. And they've been doing that since the creation of time. How many here have ever seen a kaleidoscope? You know what? The kids are going, what's a kaleidoscope? Have you ever seen that? What's a kaleidoscope? And you turn it and you see something new and different. And you turn it again and there's something new and different. And you just keep doing that and you see this really neat display of all the different colors and so forth. And see, that's what the holy angels are doing. It says that they bow in reverent adoration of who God is. And as they bow, they have their faces to the ground. And when they lift their faces to God, they see a new expression of his glory that they've never, ever seen before. And they proclaim that glory and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then they bow in reverent adoration once again. And then they raise their faces to Almighty God, and there they see something so spectacular, something so glorious that they've never, ever seen before. And they proclaim his glory once again. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And they bow in reverent adoration again. And this goes on and on and on since the beginning, and even before creation, the holy angels have been proclaiming his glory from moment to moment. Wow. But now, heaven is silent. They were stunned beyond words. They didn't know what to say, and they were seeing things that they had never seen before. They have seen the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They have seen the devastation. They've seen a third of the population destroyed. They're seeing this from heaven, and now there is silence for the space of a half hour. There was a suspense before the wrath. The suspense of what's going to take place now. They've seen things that they've never seen before. They've gone through the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and now they are witnessing what's going on here on earth, and all the devastation, all of the destruction, all of the loss, and heaven
is silent.
How many remember what you were doing and where you were at on September 11th, 2001? Do you remember exactly what you were doing? I do. On Tuesday, September 11th, 2001, I went into the office as I always had. And many times I would enjoy a cup of coffee sitting there talking to Marty, our secretary. And we'd be talking about different things, sometimes things that are going on in her life or things that are going on in my life or something's going on in the church that she needed clarity on or whatever the case might be. We were just sitting there visiting, and all of a sudden my associate pastor comes running in. And he said, "Pastor, have you heard the news?" "No, what?" He said, "A plane just flew in to the World Trade Center." I went, "What? Are you kidding me?" He goes, "I don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on yet because they don't know if it was a small plane, big plane, or what it was." And I thought, well, it's probably just a small plane. The guy had a heart attack or something like that. And now he's flown into the World Trade Center and it's burning. So we went to the youth center of the church there at First Baptist Vandalia. It was called The Way In. And so we're sitting there in The Way In and we're watching the news coverage. And about that time, we've been watching and we see this plane come around and make a quick bank like this and turn right back in and smash into the other side of the trade tower. At that moment, I looked over at my associate pastor and he looked at me and I went, now it wasn't 30 seconds. It wasn't 30 minutes. But for a moment, we were stunned beyond words. For a moment, I knew that there was some more coming. And I looked at Will and I said, "Buddy, we're at war. We are at war. And there is more to come." And see, that's what heaven is experiencing here. But it wasn't just a momentary awe. Nope. It was a half hour long. Because they had just seen the most tragic scenes develop in front of their eyes. And there was a pause. And now all of a sudden we know that the seventh seal is being opened. And we have this silence. It's significant. This is something that we will all experience. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if you're a child of Almighty God, if you're a part of the church, you're going to be raptured away. You're going to go through the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you're going to see these things take place. And you're going to be a part of this silence because it's taking place in heaven. But I believe we need to also see, secondly, the singleness of the Savior. Look with me, please, in verse 3 of our main text. Now remember, in verse 2, there were seven angels, and those seven angels were given seven trumpets. Okay? They're going to sound later on. But in verse 3, "And another angel came, and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God, notice this, out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. There are many different angels in the Bible. You have seraphims. Seraphims are unusual. They're special angels. Those seraphims will fly around and they will announce the things of God. They will make announcements. Cherubims are normally guarding something. We see the likeness of cherubims on the ark, the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, and they're facing outward. Those are cherubims. Normally, and God sent cherubims and set them in place so that Adam and Eve could not come back into the garden. So we know that there are seraphims and cherubims, and there are archangels as well. We know Michael is mentioned in the Bible. We know that the archangel Gabriel is mentioned as well. And we know that there's one other archangel, Lucifer. Sorry, he's an archangel. I'm sorry. That's his title. God gave him that title, not me. But he is an archangel. And so we know that archangels are there normally to protect the things of God and to stand between the forces of good and the forces of evil. But none of these angels can bring forth life. None of them can. But we see another angel. Not the seven that were given the seven trumpets, but we see another angel, and we know that Jesus is the other angel. Now, that's what John is writing down. That's what it appeared to be to John. And I believe that Jesus is that another angel, for the simple reason he is functioning as the high priest. Now, the high priest would function, and he had a function in his duties as high priest. He had a function to intercede for God's people. And so many times they would take sacrifices, whether it was a lamb or some doves, or maybe it was a holiday, and they'd sacrifice a bull. And so they would go to a particular table, and there was a table of showbread bread, and they would partake of that, and that would be like the body of Jesus Christ. It would be similar to us partaking of the Lord's Supper. And then they would go to the altar of incense. And on that altar of incense, if you've ever seen a diagram of the holy place, this altar of incense would have some sprigs of incense. And that incense would have leaves. And so they would take and break this incense, and they would break it into the censer, and they'd poke it into the censer. And then after the sacrifice had been sacrificed, the sacrifice would be killed, the blood would fall down onto the wood would be lit, the sacrifice would be burned, the blood of that sacrifice is on the wood and on the coals, and that high priest would then reach his tongs into the coals that had the blood on it, and he would place it in the censer, and that little lid that would go on top of it had a few small holes, just enough for a little bit of air to get in to keep the coals alive. But it wasn't alive enough to have a fire. It would just smoke. And so then they would have, many times they'd have three chains, and they would swing this sensor. And as they would swing this sensor, the air would flow through the sensor, and the smoke would come out the top. And that smoke represented the prayers of all the people of God. And so the high priest, as he would minister in the temple, he would go walk around and he would use this censer. And it was ritualistic, but yet it was very important, because as he would do that, he would be praying and he would be interceding for God's people. Because many times God's people were repressed. They were oppressed. They were depressed. They were all the bad things many times would happen to God's people. And so the high priest would intercede on their behalf. And don't you know that this another angel, which is Jesus, says that he goes to the altar of incense and was given much incense. Not just a little, but much. And he puts the incense in the censer. And he begins, and he takes the tongs and puts the coal in there. Where's the sacrifice? The sacrifice is in himself, the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the blood of Jesus Christ is in that censer, and he is interceding for God's people. Because we pray in the name of Jesus, amen? And that's not some magical incantation that we pray. We're not saying abracadabra in the name of Jesus. No, it's saying in harmony with his will and according to his authority, I'm praying this prayer. See, we can't just simply believe that if we put in the name of Jesus at the end of our prayers, that God's automatically got to jump through this hoop and do what we've been praying about. God, I'm going to run down here to the convenience store and I'm going to rob that thing. Just keep me safe in Jesus' name. Don't let me get arrested in Jesus' name. I don't think so. No, it's not going to happen. Why? Because it's not according to God's will and authority with him. No, it's not going to happen. Have you ever heard someone pleading the blood of Jesus? Oh, yeah. It's going. See, God has to say yes when we plead the blood of Jesus, because if for him to say no, he would be denying himself. He would be denying the sacrifice that he made in himself in the person of Jesus Christ. When I was a young boy, my brother, 18 months older, Rod, was with me. And many times we'd go to the county fair. I've shared this before. We'd go to the county fair and we'd be riding rides. And my dad would go and buy a whole bunch of $1 tickets. And we'd go ride a ride and dad would be at the next ride. And my brother and I would get off that last ride and we'd come running through the line and my dad would be there and he'd give us the tickets. Well, I ran into a friend of mine by the name of Danny Engstrom. And I said, Danny, you want to go ride the Tilt-A-Whirl with me? And he goes, yeah. So we go, my brother goes, he gets his ticket, I get my ticket. I'm through the line and Danny is standing there with his hand out at my father like this. And my dad's looking at him like, get away from me, kid. You're not mine. Get away from me. And everybody that's the line's backing up, they're saying, give him a ticket, you cheapskate. Give him a ticket. He's not my kid. I ain't giving him a ticket. These are $1 a piece. Pretty soon I hear the ruckus and I turn around and I go back and I said, Dad, this is my friend Danny. I told him he could come ride the ride with me and that you'd give him a ticket. You know what my dad did? He took that ticket and said, here you go. Gave him a ticket, get this, in my name. See, that's what in Jesus' name means. And here we see that Jesus, the another angel, is taking the golden censer. He goes to the altar of incense. He gets the incense. He packs it in for us. And then he lights it with the coal from the altar, the burnt offering that's taking place, and he puts it in the censer, puts the lid on it, and he starts to swing it. What's that show? He's interceding for you and I. Why? Because we've got burdens on our heart that just weigh us down. We have so much heartache in our lives from time to time that we need someone that knows what we're going through. And the Bible tells us that Jesus has gone through everything that we can ever experience. And that he is interceding for us on behalf of us to the Father. And when we are praying in the name of Jesus, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we're praying in authority to God's will, according and to the harmony of what he wants and desires in our lives. Don't you know God is going to say yes? It's right. The main thing that God's wanting is to make sure that everyone is prepared. There may be some here today that have never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Oh, they might say, I know God. I know all about Jesus. Yeah, I was raised in church myself for 14 years, perfect attendance, but I was lost as lost can be. God wants everyone to be saved, and that's why he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross at Calvary. Because, brothers and sisters, this is the beginning of the end of the human race. And if you have not made a decision for Jesus Christ, today you can do that by simply admitting that you're a sinner, believing that Christ died for you, and then confessing him as Lord of your life. A, B, and C. Very simple. Even little kids understand that. If our worship team would come, we're going to have a song of invitation. And this is your invitation to come and to receive Christ as your Savior. Maybe there are some things that you are experiencing that you are burdened down. Your heart is heavy. So you need to come. There'll be brothers and sisters that gather around you to pray as well, that they might intercede and help you in that walk that God's called you to walk. Let's all stand. people said?
Amen.
Well, today you saw the first part of this, but the biggest part of it is tonight when we see the seven trumpets and what takes place when those seven trumpets are blown. So I encourage you to come back tonight for the conclusion of this message, because you just got a small taste of what this message is all about today. So the most important, most significant part is tonight when we look at those seven trumpets and what takes place when that trumpet sounds. Okay, so come back tonight. I pray that you might hear the rest of the story.